Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dream On podcast. I'm your host, Jen, and this is the second video episode ever for the podcast. You will notice that this video, compared to the last one, I'm actually bright. You can see me now. It's amazing. I have a ring light now. I actually had it before, but it's not really mine. It's my mom's, and I'm borrowing it because she works online. So she has it for her video calls and stuff that she does, but she's not here right now. So I stole it temporarily and I will return it, but right now I'm using it. And I'll try to use it in the future as well, because I think it's important that if I'm doing a video episode, people can actually see me. So I want everyone to go back in their mind, like really step back in your mind palace and recall, if you will, that the podcast hit the 50,000 plays milestone, like, I don't even know, like a long time ago. And I'll check later and maybe I'll put it in like the description of the episode. But yeah, we hit the 50,000 plays milestone a while ago. And I said that I would do a special like video episode where I go over some of my favorite books, because I've talked about them a lot on the show, just like over the time. And I didn't. And that was for a variety of reasons that I think I mentioned a little bit in the last episode, just like burnout and everything. So I'm going to do that now. And that's actually today's episode. So if you're not interested in books particularly, I would still recommend that you listen, because I think it's going to be really entertaining watching me like freak out, because I think that that's going to be like a significant portion of this episode, because I really love these books that I'm going to talk about today to a frightening degree for people who don't read. And for people who do read, it'll be a relatable experience, I think. So I have, you know, the shelf here. We can all see the beautiful shelf. And I'm going to pick out some of the faves. And I'm not just going off of like favorite books, because I think that when you're just talking about favorites, it gets into like, you know, more like, hey, like my personal favorites versus like everybody else's might not necessarily line up. So today I'm thinking of like favorite books in terms of me actually recommending them to you. So I am thinking like, if I was like, you know, an average person, would I enjoy this book? Because some of them, like, let me just show you. So this book, for example, would not recommend to everybody. Like, I would not recommend this book to people who I don't know, like who I didn't know. This is like, yeah, look at that. This is like an interesting book, Not Even Bones, and the author is Rebecca Schaefer, and it's a very good book. I have the trilogy over there. I own all of them in paperback, and this is not a series that I would recommend to everybody, and the reason is because it is, it's a little weird. It's a little bit disturbing. It's not something that I would just tell a random person to read, even though actually I think that now that I'm talking about it, I think probably a lot of people who are interested in this podcast would also probably enjoy it. But like in terms of also like the writing style, it's not super advanced, I would say. It's not a story that like you're reading the writing and you're like, wow, like this, you know, this, the language is so beautiful, or like, oh, like the descriptions are so vivid. It's just like, it's a fun story, and it's a little different from, I feel like, the normal mainstream like fantasy genre. 'Cause that's what I tend to read, is a lot of fantasy. And I think, I don't know if this is a YA book or like an adult book or what, but I don't know. There's a lot of like gore in it, if you can't tell from the title of Not Even Bones. But yeah, it's a good series. It's definitely like fantasy, and I know a lot of people too are like I won't read a book. This is not me saying this, but I know a lot of other people are like, I won't read a book if there's, you know, no romance. And if that's your thing, this is probably not for you, because like the hints of romance that are there are like so unserious, and it's more like, nah, they're more like trauma bonded than anything else. But yeah, it's a weird book. It's good. And I didn't expect to talk about it today, but this is just like an example of something that I wouldn't just recommend to people. So even though I'm talking about it right now and I do recommend it. So all the other books that I talk about today will be more like general recommendations that I'm like, yeah, I think most people, if they read this, would like it and enjoy it. So that's more what I'm going to move into now. But all of these are books that like I really, really liked and that I, you know, would rate like 4 or 5 stars out of 5. So yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about. And that's how we're going to celebrate. I think the podcast is at like 70,000 plays now. So we're pretty darn up there. And also like when you're Googling the podcast and everything, it actually comes up now. So it would be nice if we could get the YouTube channel to that point as well, because I want people to actually like find the show more. So if you're not subscribed to the podcast YouTube channel, please subscribe. It's in the description of this episode. Even if you're not going to watch it on YouTube, please do that so that people can find it on there. So yeah, that's my bookmark just fell out onto the floor because I was rereading it. This is the book. Incredible. I have realized that I don't actually need my headphones in. I just had them in because when I was doing the sound check, I kept them in. So I'm going to not have them in now. It's fine. So this is what we're working with now. This is the second book that I'm recommending, I guess, even though I've gone into already why the first book is not necessarily a recommendation. So this is An Enchantment of Ravens by Margaret Rogerson. And Margaret Rogerson is honestly one of my favorite authors. And the reason is because I think that the language that she uses is really beautiful, just like her prose style I really love. And I think that her world building is really wonderful. She has this book, which is a standalone, and then she has Sorcery of Thorns, which is also a standalone, but it does have novella. And then she wrote a book called Vespertine, and I have Vespertine as well, which I will show you after I talk about this book, just really quick, because Vespertine is actually like one of the best books I've ever read, period. But similar to Not Even Bones, I don't think it's palatable for everybody. I think it's more of like a specific kind of vibe to it. It's like a little bit darker as well than like this book. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. An Enchantment of Ravens is like, I think it's an easy read. It's not that long. Like this is a paperback that I have and it's this thick. It's not that big, which if you don't read anything, then it's big, but it's only, yeah, it's like exactly 300 pages. So it's like, it's not that big. And it's just a likable story. It's like a pretty simple premise. And if you are a fan of Holly Black or like A Court of Thorns and Roses, the sort of like fairy novel genre books, it definitely fits in that vein. And this one is probably one of the more like romance centric books that I've ever read, because that's not like my go-to genre. Like I'm fine if it's there in a book, but if romance is the main plot, then it's like, ugh, it's so boring for me. I can't even get through it. So yeah, this is a good one. It's like more romance centered if that's your thing. But I think that the like whimsy and like the kind of like fairy like monsters and like the magic in the book is more so like why I like it. So yeah, it's a fun book. It's like a good experience. I'd recommend it to anybody. And yeah, the story is easy to follow. It's fun to read. And I think it's like one of those books that I read it and I was like, oh, that was all right. And then like a year later, I was thinking about it again. And I was like, I have to read that right now. Like I just got like a craving to read it again. And then I bought it, which is why I have the paperback. I got it secondhand. And I think that Margaret Rogerson specifically, that's just kind of how I feel about her books. Like she as an author, all of her stories, I read them and I'm like, okay, I'm done. And like, it was so good. Or like, you know, this one I was like, it's just all right. Because this was her debut book. And then she wrote Sorcery of Thorns and then she wrote Vespertine. And so obviously like it's a debut book. You don't necessarily expect it to be the best or, you know, like the best of any book. Not just for the author, but I really feel like it holds up, even though it was her first book that she published, because, yeah, I went back to it and I actually gave it a higher rating than when I read it the first time, because I read it the first time and I think I gave it 3 or 4. And then the second time I read it, I think I gave it 5 stars. I mean, and I was like, hey, like, I was a freak when I read this the first time because it was super good and it needs a higher rating. Just for the, like, yeah, just for the vibes. Because I was like, why did I rate this so low? Like, if it's good enough for me to go back and buy it and read it again, then obviously it's, like, a really good book. So, yeah, Enchantment of Ravens, so good. And that's, like, if you're looking for, like, fantasy. Like I said, like, Holly Black fans, like, it's, like, that kind of vibe where it's like it's fully in a different world. It's not gosh, what is that called, where it's like it's from like the normal world and they go somewhere else. Like, this is not that. This is like a fully alternate like fantasy world, which in general I don't know if I have a preference between those, but I think I tend to read more like full fantasy instead of like starting here. It doesn't matter really at all, but yeah, it's a super good book and you should read it. And this is like a starter book. Like, if you're not big into reading and you want to maybe start getting into reading, this is definitely a book that I would like pitch, because I feel like the story moves pretty quickly and that like there's always kind of something happening that you're thinking about, as opposed to, you know, really long, like, lulling kind of moments, which you get when you're reading, like, a longer book, as opposed to 300 pages, which I think is pretty average and, like, standard, whereas now we're getting more books that are published that are, like, literally, like, 1,000 pages. Like, the Keeper of the Lost Cities series, which I have a couple of them over on the shelf. They're right there, these two. I started reading those when I was 10, and the series is first of all still not done, which is crazy. And just thinking about how crazy that is. But the like most recent books that have come out in the series are like 900 pages, like over 800 pages. I think the most recent one did hit like 900. And it's like, Shannon, like, what are you doing? Because the author is Shannon Messenger. And I'm like, girl, like, what are you doing? Yeah, no. But so this is nothing like that. And even though it's not middle grade, which is like kind of easier to read in a lot of ways. And I might argue that middle grade does like a better job in general storytelling than the young adult and the adult genres, because those older, like, once you get into the kind of older age group genres, I feel like storytelling really takes a back seat a lot of times, and they focus more on like almost things that don't matter, like sort of like fluff in the story and like filler, because they just want to make it longer because they can, because their readers are older and so they can like handle it. But in the middle grade genres, you tend to get stories that are more focused on like a central plot line. And yes, the characters can be more like stereotypical because they kind of fill like simpler roles in the story, but honestly, like, the middle grade genre has some really strong reads in it, and it's something that I'm like continuing to check out when there's like new books in there, because they're really good. So if you're looking for middle grade recs, maybe I should pull out a couple of those today. We'll see where this goes. I'm gonna see what happens. So yeah, right now, Sorcery of Thorns. This is not Sorcery of Thorns. This is Enchantment of Ravens. That's her other freaking book, which is also very good. But now I'm also going to pull out Vespertine just so you can see it. This is her. This is Vespertine. I reread this book twice in 2023, like two times in a year, because I read it in like March. And then I was like, I need that to not be over. Like, I have to read it again, because there's like a specific dynamic in this book between, I literally like can't even spoil it. I think it's even in the description, but I don't even want to talk about it. Like, but there's a specific character dynamic that I was so addicted to reading this book, because it's so fun and so funny and also just like so interesting, that ever since I finished the book, I constantly am like looking to chase the high of this story and that specific dynamic, because I can't find it anywhere else. Like, it doesn't exist. And it actually like routinely pisses me off that I can't find anything that resembles it, because I need it so bad. So yeah, Vespertine, like if you're more of a reader and maybe you haven't tried anything from Margaret Rogerson, honestly, like if you just jumped into Vespertine, like I wouldn't be mad. This one is going to leave you being like, okay, where's book two? And that's me every day because she said that it was going to be a series and it's set up to be a series, which will be her first because her two prior books are standalones. But it's been, I think, 3 years since Vespertine came out and there has not been another book. I think it was supposed to come out 2 years after. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, especially because she's not active really on social media. She posts like once every 3 weeks or something, like anything. And she really hasn't given any updates that I'm aware of. So I have no idea why it's delayed, but I don't know. Also, I did hit the mic a little bit. I don't think you heard it, but it did happen. So yeah, Vespertine. So freaking good. And now I'm going to go on to another one. Let's see what else I have over here. This is a book that I've mentioned by name on the podcast before. And it's a book that I think some people may have read before because it was very popular. I wouldn't say that it's popular now. There are still some fans, but it was extremely popular when it first came out. And this book is Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. And yeah, this book like destroyed me when I was 13 years old. And I have lasting psychic damage and lasting trauma from reading this book. And here's the thing about this book, okay? Like, if you don't know, if you are not involved or, like, never have been involved in kind of the online book community, this book is, like, they eviscerated it. Like, this book has been ripped apart and burned and stomped into the mud on the internet. Like, if you look up reviews for this book, I don't know what it's rated. It could still have a high rating. But, like, if you look in the reviews at, like, what people have said about it, even going up into, like, the kind of 3-star, like, you know, average rating where people are like, yeah, it was okay. If you are reading the reviews of this book, people are going crazy on it. Like, people are like, this is one of the worst things I've ever read. Like, it has every cliche. Just like crazy stuff. And people are like, you know, it's bad, it's predictable, all this stuff. And here's the issue, okay? Like, here's the real issue. I'm so serious because I've been here for the whole saga of this book and the series, which is all this way. It's all up here. I own the whole series. Even like the bonus book that came after the series was done. And the issue was, okay, so the first people who read the series, which was like myself included, because I actually got it at like Costco. It was just there and I had seen the cover somewhere and read the description and I was like, oh, that seems good. And again, I was 13. I was in middle school and I think I was in like 7th grade and I just like saw it and I was like, yeah, I want to read that. And so my mom bought the book for me and I read it and I was like, that was so good because first of all, okay, I was 13, which we will get to, but also like, if you don't know, okay, I'm hoping that nobody paused this to go and look at reviews yet, because if you don't know, do not look at reviews and don't look at any content about the book if you want to read it, even if you just want to try it, because the ending of book one, there's a big twist, like something happens and I don't want to hear it from anyone that they saw the twist coming because they freaking didn't. I don't want to hear it. It's a straight up lie. You could not have known that it was coming. Nobody knew. Okay. And it's like, were there probably a couple people who actually did know? Yes. But when we're looking at the sheer number of people who are like, I knew that that was going to happen. I actually knew because of the... No. Lie, 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 lie. They just want to feel like they're better than everybody else and they just want to lie so that they can throw this book into the mud like everybody else does and like burn the pages. And guess what? Don't lie. Don't lie. The twist at the end is good. Is the book good? No. Do I love it? And have I reread it before? Yes. Will I reread it again this year because I'm planning to? Yes. Does that have to do with the quality of the book? No. So, like I said, this book shaped me because I read it when I was 13, which is a big kind of transition age. You know, middle school is the hardest time of anybody's life, and I will continue to say that forever because it's true. And I read this book in middle school, and I was like, okay, this is who I am now. Like, that book was everything. How do I even refer to him? I've mentioned him before. There's a character in this book who is, I would say, like, one of the two options for, like, the love interest, because there's a stupid love triangle, of course. And, like, that character destroyed me forever. Like, oh my gosh, like, shaped me as a person, because I was in love with him when I was 13. When you're in love with someone at 13, you never recover from being in love with them. So guess what? Tomorrow, if they were like, hey, Jennifer, like, you can save him in this fictional world. Like, you can save him. I'd be like, okay, like, what do I have to do? Like, I would do it. You know what I mean? So yeah, no. But this, the series, like, would I recommend it to people? Well, I'm talking about it, so that says something. I think it is interesting. Like, it's an interesting study as a series. And honestly, I think I should probably make, like, a full video about it just to kind of explore the series a little more. But so book one, Red Queen, it does definitely read like a debut novel. There are a lot of things that, you know, you're reading and you're like, you know, this could have been cut or like all this stuff. And I'm saying this as somebody who reads a lot, right? So if this was a book that I read, if I didn't read a ton, I probably wouldn't notice stuff like this. But it definitely does read like a debut novel. It reads like there are a lot of things that could have been changed. There's some stuff that doesn't add up. And the main character is like pretty cookie cutter. There's not anything about her that's super special or that like stands out. She's just kind of like average main character. So there's nothing about that stuff that's particularly interesting. But I think that as the series goes on, it definitely does really like build itself into something more unique and more interesting. Because what ends up happening is that like this series becomes a lot about politics and kind of debates about like more like political intrigue kind of stuff. And so it does kind of get to almost like this higher level of not even like thought, but almost kind of like intellectual discussion, which is interesting. And I wouldn't say that it's asking like particularly philosophical questions or anything. It's more so just that the conflict in the book goes from being a point where it's like very black and white to being more of an interesting topic, because it's like, and this isn't like spoiling anything. So like the main idea for the book is that there are like two classes of people, and the people in charge who are like, you know, the powerful people, they have silver blood and so they're called silvers. And then like the normal people who are just like us, have red blood like we do. And so they're called reds. And so the silver people, right, like they rule the society, and they have like basically superpowers, and they, yeah, they're just like, they're basically like a dictatorship, even though there are a lot of them. So it's like this whole class of dictators, and then like the other people that just like work under them and their lives suck. And so that's like super black and white, right? And then what ends up happening is that like this, the series kind of like explores that dynamic a little bit better. And then there are more conflicts going forward of like, you know, the reds versus other reds and like silvers versus other silvers. And so it's like, it's more interesting as it goes on. And none of that is really in book one at all. But if you weather the storm, if you will, that is book one, then first of all, you get to the crazy ending, which like, again, no, you didn't see it coming. And like me saying that kind of ruins it, because you have to just like go into it blind and not know, because like when I was reading it, I thought that it was just like a chill, normal, like casual read. And, so like, I didn't think that it was capable of that level of like twist, you know what I'm saying? Cause like the level that the book is written at doesn't really fit with that at the end. And it's also not like, it's not like a cheap twist where like in book two, it gets reversed or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I hate that. I actually hate that, where something will happen and then it's just reversed in the next book. And like movies do that too, where they have some big twist or they have some big like plot point and then they're like, oh, actually you were wrong and that didn't happen. Or they're like, oh no, we reversed it and now that's not true anymore. It's like, that's stupid. The only time that worked is in the final Twilight film. And that's the truth. And I don't want to hear any debate on that either, because the final Twilight movie, hey, that's a good twist. I didn't know Twilight was going to come up. So yeah, it's a good series. I would recommend it. This is also, honestly, would I say that it's like beginner reader friendly? Maybe, because the writing level is not super like advanced, I guess. Like it's not so like, I don't know. The writing isn't like flourishy. It's just like kind of to the point, like this happens, as opposed to, you know, describing it in all these different ways. So yeah, I mean, it's a good series. I like it. Reading it again is pretty difficult. Like I got halfway through, I got this far into book one last year and then I could not finish it because it was so long and like it needs to be edited down. But I do actually think, honestly, that it's worth getting to the rest of the series, especially because I think that people have really different opinions on the series. So I think it's worth exploring if you've heard about it and you haven't read it yourself, because people, I think, really enjoy hating on these particular books. And I don't understand why, because there's nothing about this series that's particularly horrible or bad that makes it like so awful. And like, did I sob? Yeah, I did. I did sob reading this series. And not just when I was like 13. This was like when I was like 18 when the final book came out. I was around there. It was like near the end of when I was in high school. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, who am I now? yeah, no, I can't even get into it because it like spoils too much. But it's a good series. And I think actually I probably should dive into it separately. And that'll be like full of spoilers. And I'll just talk about the whole thing. Yeah, I'll plan that and I'll sketch that out probably soon. Let me find another book to talk about real quick, and this will be probably the climax of all of these. I think I know which one I'm going to talk about, and there might be people who can guess which one I'm going to talk about as well. Guys, it's the Caraval series. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is Caraval by Stephanie Garber, and I do also tend to say Caraval, but I recently saw on one of her Instagram stories that she was talking about the book, and she called it Caraval, which means that that's the real name, and I've been saying it wrong when did book one even come out? Like 7 years ago? When did Caraval come out? 2016? It's been 8 years. Okay, it's fine. Okay, it's fine. Okay, this is Caraval. Came out 8 years ago. It's fine. This is one of my favorite books that I've ever read. Full stop. Like, it's so good. I started it, and similar to Red Queen, I thought that it was going to be, like, a casual, like, chill thing. Also, I read it in, like, 2016. I think that that was my freshman year of high school. It was my freshman year, and it was, yeah, it was that year, because then I Legendary came out not too long after I read book one, which is this Legendary is the second book in the series. So Caraval is a fantasy book, but it's seriously like nothing else that I've ever read. And if you have considered reading it before, do it. Like, you have to read it. It is so good. And I read it and I thought that it was just going to be like a normal, like casual read. I picked it up because I was like, I had nothing else to read and I just needed something. And so I thought it was going to be like a very chill, like, just like relaxing read. And like the introduction to the book, not good. The first scene, not good. Doesn't represent the series at all. And then you get into like more the like first like kind of fourth of the book, and you reach that point and you're like, wait, like why is this actually getting good now? Like, no, like I actually have like questions about what's going on. Like, who are these people? Like, what is happening? And then you start, like, you continue reading and you're like, hold on, like I actually have a lot of questions that need to be answered. So the book really builds on itself, and just as a setup, I feel like it's so unique and the world building is so incredible, and it all really just feels like a giant sandbox that the author definitely continued to fill with her second series, which is over there, and that's the Once Upon a Broken Heart series. And guess what? Yeah, I'm in love with the villain. Yeah. What's wrong with that? There's no problem. And it's fine. Everybody likes him. I'm not even special. Everybody loves him. Yeah, he's good. He's awesome. And he is introduced not in Caraval. He is introduced in Legendary. And yeah. Yeah, he's introduced in Legendary. And I would just like to say, in terms of like calling dibs on the villain, I liked him when he was a side character before he even had a name and he was in one scene. So I think that I liked him first compared to everybody else. And I did read the series quite early. So just like Red Queen, I was really like on it. Like I read the series right when it came out before a lot of people were reading it. And I was like, this looks like an okay book. And I just picked it up and read it. And then it changed my life forever. So Caraval, the prose and the writing style in this series, actually, like there have been times that I've been reading it and she'll describe something in the book. And I'm like, I have to step back because it's like the words are so beautiful. So if you're like a language nerd or you're somebody who is really into like poetry or something, like this is the series because it is so beautiful to just read. Like even if you hated the story, even if you're somebody who was like the characters were bad, the story was bad, everything was bad, you would have to acquiesce that the writing in the book, just the writing is good. Period. And that's why when it comes to this series, this is the total opposite of Red Queen, which I'm like, hey, you know, the writing isn't good. The characters aren't good. I do like the story. I feel like the story kind of redeems it a little bit, like just as it goes on, the long term kind of story. This is the opposite of that, where I'm like, even if you hate the characters, I love the characters. Even if you hate the story, I love the story. You would still have to agree that the writing in the book is really, really good. Which is why for this series, I don't understand how you could ever give it like a 1 star out of 5 stars, because I feel like you would have to at least give it 2 just because of the writing. So this is a series that I will defend to my grave, which is actually not true for the spinoff series. I think that the spinoff series, and this is devastating to say, but I think that the spinoff series really missed the mark for me. And I haven't read the third book yet, which already is like that should already be a sign, because the series, I cannot spoil what it's about. Do not look at what it's about until you finish the Caraval series, because it will spoil it for you a little bit, what happens. So, but the spinoff series, it really missed the mark for me, and I was very excited about it. And so that should tell you something, that I haven't even read the third book yet, and it came out like months ago. I pre-ordered it a year before, and then I got it, and I haven't even read it yet. And it's been out for, you know, a couple months. So yeah, but obviously it's still good and I'm excited to read it, and it'll probably be like 4-star book. So not like the Caraval series, at all, like my Blessed series. No, but these books, like they're everything to me. Like if you read these books, like we're best friends. Like, I'm sorry, we are. Like, this is my book series. I've read Caraval number 1, I think 3, or no, it's got to be more, because I read it more in the first couple of years after it came out. I've probably read the first Caraval book like 4 times. I think probably 4 times is probably accurate. And it's been out for 7 years. So it's pretty good. Every couple of years I go back to it and I just have to read it just because. And there's some, like, there's obviously some downfalls to the series when you're rereading it. But on the first read through, genuinely, I was like, this is flawless. Like, it's a flawless plot. It's a flawless series. And still there aren't any, like, plot holes or anything major when I go back. It is just, like, on a reread, the second book, Legendary, is not super compelling because it focuses on a, like, mystery that once you've solved it, like, once you know the answer, it's just not, it's, like, super interesting anymore. So it's still fun to read. And obviously, like, the love of my life is introduced in the second book. So I love reading all those parts that he's in. But generally, like, you know, rereading it, it's not as good. But if that's the standard, like, if I have to start talking about the reread experience, we're in a good place. So this is the book. This is the book. This is the recommendation. Caraval series, Stephanie Garber. Also, the author, so nice. When book one came out and book two came out, and actually book three may have even been out, but like in the years since the beginning, right? And I was like an original fan, like I have that to claim. She has gotten like so much bigger. She has so much attention. She has her second series. And so she's really like a big author now. But at the beginning, you know, she wasn't as big. And yes, the book was blowing up, but it was not to the extent that it's big now. And I was like posting about it and like all this stuff. And I put like a quote from the book on my graduation cap when I graduated from high school. And she responded and like commented on my personal post and like put it in her Instagram story. It was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's awesome. And I was like freaking out. I was like, this is so cool. And she was like responding to my DMs. I was like, I love your book so much. And like, you know, I didn't expect her to respond. I just thought she might see it. And so I sent it because I was like, I just want her to know. And she literally replied and was like, thank you so much for reading. Like, and she's such a nice person. And so that takes the series even higher, right? Because I was already obsessed with the series. I was already like, these are some of the best things I've ever read. And then her being super nice on top of that was like, whoa, like, of course I want to keep supporting her and buying her books. And I actually said at the very beginning when the Caraval series came out and it was all finished, I said, I was like, anything that she publishes from now on, I'm going to buy it. Even if it gets horrible reviews, even if everybody hates it, even if I hate it, I'm going to buy everything she writes just to support her because this series is so good and I want her to keep writing just for the hope that anything else she could make would be this good. So that's where I'm at with this series. Like, I want to eat these books. I want to cut up the pages and put them in a salad. They don't even need any dressing, and I will eat them. It's such a good series. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So calming down. I think I'm going to do maybe like two more recommendations because there are a couple that I'm thinking of now that I would like to cover. So gonna do those and then we're gonna call it a day and everybody can go to the library. If you're unaware, actually, so this is very important for everybody. So if you want to support your local library, you don't even have to read any books, you don't even have to check out any books, just to support the library as an institution and a place of learning. If you have a library card, that's how the county decides how much funding goes to the library, is by how many people have a card registered with the library. It's not even by the number of checkouts or anything. So if you don't have a library card, and I'm talking about America right now, and actually, does this apply to other states? Probably. If you're in the United States and you don't have a library card, go to the library and get a library card. It is free because it's a public institution. It's a public service. And then the library gets more funding just from you having a library card. So please do that if you don't have one right now. And you can also get them for, it's for anyone. So like you can have like an under 18 library card. You can have a normal library card. It's whatever. If you have five kids, get five kids a library card because then they get funding for all of those people. Please do that because libraries need support.
This is the next contender. This is Spin the Dawn by Elizabeth Lim. And this is another author who's super nice because, like I mentioned before, not in this episode somehow, but in the past, I've mentioned that I had a like a Bookstagram book blog where I would post. I had a Bookstagram book blog where I would post pictures of my books and I would post like reviews and stuff. And it was a whole community and it was super fun. And then this is actually crazy. Like this is crazy, but I actually left, for a while because first of all, burnout, second of all, school, but also the, like, this is so weird too. I actually started experiencing like anti-Semitism, like really aggressive. Like this woman, sent me this long, like DM and was like telling me that I was responsible for genocide because I was Jewish. So that really turned me off of the whole thing. And then also there was just some things that my friends, my internet friends were posting that were really crazy. And it wasn't them posting them. It was them like reposting stuff on their stories. And I just don't think that they were reading like the whole post. And this was years ago. This was when I was in high school, like sophomore year, junior year, like those couple years. And I was like, hey, this is really bad for my mental health. Like I have to stop. So I stopped doing that, but I loved doing it for a while. And that's also like why I know a lot about kind of the books that were coming out from that period, the popular ones, I mean, because I saw everybody posting about them. And this was one of them, Spin the Dawn. And this book is something that I would recommend for people who enjoy kind of like fairy tale vibes. Like this is described as a Mulan retelling, which I really honestly don't think is accurate at all. I think that that's something that maybe the marketing people more wanted to lean into. And of course, like that could totally be a part of the author's original inspiration. I have no idea. I don't know her. But in terms of the actual story that was turned out, I don't think it's super Mulan-esque. The main character is disguised as a man at the beginning, which is like, it's a super fun trope. Everybody likes it. It's really fun. And so like, that's definitely where it comes from, but that's like the first fourth or third of the book. And then the rest of it is like this whole like journey that she goes on with the love interest who is like, if you're a romance fan, this is a good one for you. And actually Caraval is too, but as opposed to like that, as opposed to Not Even Bones. That's not probably a very good metric right now because it's in like everything. But yeah, this is a really good story. It's really fun. The magic in it is super unique. And I think, if you're familiar with the original Cinderella story, like the OG one, and is it even Cinderella? I might be thinking of Rough Skin, which is one of my favorite fairy tales. But in the story, the girl, like the poor, like servant girl, daughter, whatever, because it's the same in both stories, because fairy tales tend to cross over with each other. She gets these like walnuts that have dresses in them. And one of them is as beautiful as the sun and the other one's as beautiful as the moon and the other one's as beautiful as the stars. And that whole like sun, moon, stars theme is in this book too. And it even is like with the dresses. And I know that the theme of like the sun, moon, and stars is not specific to that fairy tale. But for me, that's why I loved it when I read it because I was like, oh my gosh, it's like my favorite. And so, yeah, that's not where it's from. But it's like if you like that kind of theme of like the fairy tale theme, and those more like kind of like traditionally magical elements instead of the more like modern fantasy stuff, this is a really good option. And the story, just like where it goes and the journey and everything, is really good. Like I read this book and I was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And it is rereadable. I've read it a few times. I really liked it every time. The only thing I would say is that book two is not as good as book one. And that's just where we're at. There's nothing particularly wrong with it. It just wasn't like as compelling story-wise compared to this one because I loved this one so much and book two just like couldn't live up to the hype. But other people did really like book two.
So you might not necessarily agree with me if you read them. Just for me, though, that's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, I'd still recommend the first book to anybody. And, like, book two wasn't bad. It just wasn't, like, as amazing as this one. So Spin the Dawn. Also, what the heck? Look at the cover. Are you kidding? Are you joking? Look at it. It's so pretty. So if you're looking for just, like, decoration for the shelf, you could do a lot worse than Spin the Dawn. That's what I'm saying. And then I actually have, I think I have two more series that I want to just go over, like, so fast. So fast. It'll be so fast. And then you, like, check the timestamp for the video and it's, like, 40 more minutes. That won't happen. This next one, literally life-altering, literally, like, Caraval level, but in, like, such a different way. So this is Echo North by Joanna Ruth Meyer, and this is going to fall into the category of less well-known books. So this is not one that you're going to see on a ton of lists. This is not one that is going to be, like, you know, you're going to go on Goodreads and it's going to have, like, 200,000 reviews. This is, like, a smaller author, and I follow her on Instagram, too. Follow all these authors on Instagram. And she's just, like, a smaller author. Like, I think she has, like, a few thousand followers online. And, like, guys, like, this book is life-changing. This book is so good. Whoever you are, you have to read this one. You have to read this one. This is not like Caraval where I'm like, that book was amazing for me, and I think that most other people would enjoy it in some way. This is like, if you're a person, you'll like this book. It's just a good book. It's a good story. The writing is really good. The cover is so beautiful. Like, come on. It's such a good book. Also, she has two others that match the book that I will literally grab right now to show you. This is the complete set. They're not actually in, like, a series. So you could read all of these as a standalone. We have Wind Daughter, which is yellow, so you can't really see it. But it's still pretty, Wind Daughter. That's the most recent one. We have Into the Heartless Wood. Oh my gosh, the cover again. And then Echo North, which is the one that I'm talking about right now, and it came out first. So these books, primarily Echo North, life-altering, so, like, deeply introspective, even though it's still fantasy, because it's not, like, a philosophy book, it's not boring to read, it's, like, such a fun story, but the whole theme of Echo North is, like, and it's, like, under the surface, right? It's not overt, but the whole theme underneath it is, like, what does it mean to be beautiful? And it's not in, like, the stupid, freaking superficial way online where it's, like, love who you are. And then that's all they say. Hey, I don't need to hear that. Thanks, I already know. Thank you. That doesn't mean anything to me. No. This book is actually like, it like reaches into your soul. And it's like, hey, like, what does it really mean to be a beautiful person? And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna die now. Like, that was so good. I cried really hard at the end of this book. And I'm not gonna spoil the ending. The only thing I'm going to say is that the ending is not super sad. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I, as a person, tend to avoid really sad books because it's damaging for me to read something that's super sad. So I avoid books that have like really sad endings. I don't read tragedies because I can't do it because, real life is actually sad enough for me. Hey, it's okay. Real life is sad enough. So I don't need it in fiction. So this book is not like one of those books that'll leave you at the end. And I also think it's kind of cheap when a book is just like, surprise, it's a tragedy. Hey, that was cheap. Like, you could have just told me. And then, you know, if you can't achieve the same effect telling me at the very beginning that it's going to be a tragedy and it has to be a surprise, probably the tragedy that you're writing just isn't that good. Why couldn't you tell me at the start? Why did it have to be a surprise? Because the impact should be great enough that even me knowing that it's a tragedy,
even me knowing that it's a tragedy, I should still get to the end and be devastated. Actually, it should make it more devastating, because then when I get to the end, I'll be like, I knew that this was coming, and it still hurts just as bad. And it actually hurts worse because I knew that this was the destiny that we were going to go to. And you know what? Let me retire from talking about Echo North, which you have to read it if you like fairy tales, if you like good writing, like poetry, if you like fantasy, if you like anything. If you enjoy anything, you should read Echo North right now. Because again, also, right, when we're talking about like these really big authors, this isn't like a really big author. So supporting her means more than supporting like Sarah J. Maas or like who's even bigger than that? Like freaking like Colleen Hoover. Like supporting Joanna Ruth Meyer means a lot more than supporting those other authors, because she's not that big. So when somebody buys her book, it actually means something. And I don't think she's like an indie author. Like, yeah, like she has like a real publisher, but she's not a celebrity author, right? Like people aren't recognizing her on the street. If I saw her, I would recognize her and I would ask her to sign something, but I'm not everybody. Yeah, I'm not the general public. So please read her books. They're so good. They're so good. Okay, moving on, because this reminded me of this other book, and then I will talk about the real book that I want to talk about. Which one was I thinking of? How could I forget? I've literally mentioned this on the podcast before. Tracy Chi, The Reader. Are you kidding? This. First of all, cover. What the heck? Okay, it's one of the prettiest covers on my shelf. Also, for people who enjoy books, it has like the edges. It has the edges that are not just like straight edge. They're like the soft edge. So they're like almost like torn a little bit instead of just like all one level. So they're like soft on the edge, so you don't get paper cuts, which is an awesome feature. And it's pretty. So this series is, and I've mentioned it before, so it might sound familiar. But, yeah, in book one, it's like, hey, this really bad thing is going to happen at the end of the series. And I read that and I was like, psh, no, that is not true. That's not true at all. And I was like, that's so lame to introduce that. And then you're not going to really do it. Hey, guess what happened? She did it. The author really did it. She did what she said she was going to do in book one. Yeah, it made me not okay for like 2 months. I finished the series. I finished book three and I was like, okay, I'll never recover from that now. So this series though, like definitely more of a kind of cognitive series, which is weird because it's not something that I think you would expect from reading the description, but it's very much like an introspective, like thinking about, you know, what reading is and like what kind of our lives are and like what a story is and the idea of like fate. And it's like all these things that are crazy. They're like big questions, but they're explored in like this little fantasy trilogy that is so amazing and so good. And yeah, world shattering, like so devastating at the end. If you don't want to read something that's really sad, do not read this trilogy. Seriously, do not read this trilogy. Like it is damaging. I'm still damaged from reading this trilogy. But if you think that you can stomach it, like if you want to try, then you should try it. I'm trying to think of like other times that I cried in the series. I think I may have also cried like before the end. At different points, I can't remember the specific parts, but yeah, just a good story, great characters, very interesting world building, like so compelling, just a really good series. Definitely more adult in the themes. I don't think there was anything like explicit, but definitely just more like adult because it's more like kind of thinking like up here. I don't know how to like high level thinking of big stuff. And it doesn't bog down the book. It doesn't make it boring. That's not the actual story of the series, which I'm not going to talk about because I don't remember how much is in book one. But definitely if you're somebody who is super into like kind of just what I guess language means and like education and like those kinds of themes, I think that this series is a really good place to talk to people about stuff like that, because the whole like major theme of book one is like she learns to read and it's like it changes everything for her, right? The main character, I think she's like 13 or something, or like even 12 in the first book, and then she gets like a little bit older in the other ones. But it's like she learns to read and it just opens up this whole new world for her. Like literally just everything changes. And so I think that that in and of itself sparks like an interesting conversation of like, you know, what does reading mean for people in the real world? Like, how does reading impact your life? And, you know, the different languages you speak, like how does that affect where you're headed in just the course of your lifetime? So interesting stuff. And I think I'm making the books sound really boring, but they're not. The storyline is really also super fun and crazy, and there are a lot of twists and many very good characters. And there were a couple different perspectives, like different POVs to read, and at first I really did not care about the other one because like nah, it was just like some random guy and I was like, what is going on right now? Like I'm not a super big fan of multiple POV just because I think, and this is gonna sound crazy, and I don't necessarily agree with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think sometimes the multiple POV is used as an escape by an author because they can't fit all the stuff they need to in just one person's perspective. And so they kind of use it as like a workaround where like they're like, we need the reader to know this information and we need them to understand this, but I can't do that with the character that I made, like the main character, so now I need another one. It's like, okay, so you just couldn't figure out your own story? Like, and I'm not anti, well actually I am anti like multi POV, and I don't think that that's true for every time there's multiple perspectives. I have read some really good books with multiple perspectives that I understood why they were doing that, but on a general level I think that as it's become more popular to do that, I think it is kind of laziness. I think it's a little bit of laziness in the writing world. And that's my personal opinion. So, yeah. Now I'm going to get to the final book of the day. And I'm going to freak out talking about this. I'm going to freak out. I've talked about this on the show before. But now you all will get to see the beautiful cover. I have to go to my sister's room, though, to steal it. Because I don't own it in physical format. I only have it online. From when my mother bought it for me when I was 10, and she bought me the ebook. And my sister owns them in paperback, so I need to go take it. I'll BRB. The book that I want to talk about next is another book that shaped me as a person. And this is going to come in even earlier than Red Queen. This is going to be in my life 3 years earlier than Red Queen was there. So I was 10 years old. And this is like closer to the beginning of when I started reading books like routinely. So for me in third grade, I read my first Nancy Drew book, and that was for a book report. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, this is my life now. And I actually now own like, I think like 40 Nancy Drew books, like in hardcover. I have them in my closet. And, yeah, I own a lot of the original books because I love them so much. Like, I just have so much fondness for them because they were the first books that I read that I was like, oh my gosh, this is it.
And I just started loving reading after that. But this is a series that I read in fifth grade. So this was a couple years later. And I had read other like fantasy books at this point, but really like other than Nancy Drew, there weren't a ton of books just because it was so early that I had really like fallen in love with. And I read this book and I was like, I am like, I'm done forever. Like it just like changed me as a person. So this book, guys, it's Cassidy Jones by Elise Stokes. And let's actually look. This book was published so long ago. It's from 2010. And I don't know. Yeah, 2010. That was fifth grade, I think. Because I think it was the year. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, I was 10. Popped this book open, cracked it open. Hey, never the same after that. That was it. Where do I even begin with this book? So let me just say this. I've reread book one of this book every couple years since I was 10, and sometimes more often than that. So I think I've read book one 7 or 8 times. I pretty much have some of the words memorized. Like when I'm reading through the chapters, it's like falling into like an old rhythm. And the way that I see the story in my mind, like as I'm reading it, is like, it's always the same, right? Because like I can remember even like how I imagined the first time I read it. And so it's like this thing that like keeps repeating. And it's like, it's such a comfort read for me. I've turned to it just because I was anxious or anything. Like I'll just read a couple chapters and I'm like, like I feel good again. And so that's this series for me. Trying so desperately right now to shift into the perspective of a new reader who is not 10 years old. Book one is definitely a debut book, and that's something that we come back to sometimes when we're reading books, even really good ones. You can definitely read it and be like, oh, this was the author's first book. Like you can tell there are just some things about it that when a book is a debut book, it's how it is. Like you can tell. As somebody who's read a lot of books, you can start to be able to see that maybe the characters aren't as fleshed out as they should be, or maybe the scenes are a little more flat than they are in future books or series by more experienced writers. It's just some certain things that happen. But rereading it as somebody who has read a lot of other books now at this point, because a lot of time has passed, also has read the rest of the series. I have the final, right now it's the final book in the series. Please God, give me another one. And I have that to show you as well. But like looking back on it now as an experienced reader, the plot line is still good. The characters are so good. Like really likable characters, like not stereotypical, honestly. I feel like they all have really good depth, and they all have kind of their own story that when you're reading it, you can really sense that there's more behind the backstories of the characters than maybe you will even ever know as the reader, because it's not something that she's gone into in this series. And just from some of the stuff that this author has posted, I know that she's written a couple of TV pilots based on these books. And those have not been produced at this moment in time. But if they were, I would probably do a backflip. I don't even know. But yeah, like there's just a lot of other stuff that like she's worked on in relation to the series and just in the world. And you can really feel that when you're reading the story. And in general, I read the book too young for sure. Because the main character is a freshman in high school, the first book, and it's not even because of like the high school stuff really that I was too young. It's actually the extreme violence. If you have a weak stomach or you can't deal with like gore, don't read this series. Like I'm sorry, you can't. Actually, I think the climax of the writing in the series is in the fight scenes. Like the fight scenes in this series, they're like choreographed. Like I read them and I'm like, oh, like it's like I can see it and it's like crazy. And that's even like, I'm so much older now and I still feel that way. And like, oh, they're so good. But yeah, the characters, the fight scenes are literally the peak of everything. The relationship between the two main characters. Oh. This series set my standards too high for life. For life. I can't even speak on it. I was literally so, I was in middle school, right? Continuing to reread this and reading the other ones as they were coming out. And I was like, this is what I want for my relationship. Like, this is my true love. This is going to be it. And this is pre-Red Queen era, okay? Which was like my second book, True Love. And then Jax from Caraval is the third. And those are like the trilogy, I guess, of men that I fell in love with while reading. And they're all very different, actually, which is interesting. And probably good that they're not all exactly the same. That would be a little bit odd. But no, like this guy, guys, come on. Like I still talk about him with my friend who also read the series when I was 10. Because she also was a reader. And I was like, you should read this. And she read it. And I still know her. And we still like joke around about him. And I'm like, oh yeah, like when am I gonna meet him? And she's like, real, like me too. And that's my standard now, is this guy. And there is a plot twist in this series that doesn't happen until the most recent book. Are you ready? This is Cassidy Jones and the Eternal Flame. And this is the thickness for book one. This is the thickness for book five. So it is, I'm going to say it's roughly double the length of book one. A little bit less than double. So obviously the books get longer as the series goes on. And they definitely also get better because, again, we're dealing with a debut novel compared to like more experienced writing. But I will warn you, okay, we have this insane plot twist from the most recent book. And keep in mind that I read book one 2010 when it was published approximately. The most recent book, hey, guess when it was published? 2017. Guess what? It's not the last book in the series. I'm still waiting. What? I'm still waiting. And I messaged the author online, like, it was probably a couple years after this book came out. And I was like, hey, where's the next book? And she was like, hey, like, I'm working on it. Like, it's going to happen. I just have a lot going on because my kids are going to college. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, she's a real person. And like, she has stuff going on. And that's why she's not writing these books for me every day of her life. But that was the last thing I heard. And like, she's posted since then, like the TV pilot stuff has come after. So it's not that she's like not engaged with the series. It's just that I genuinely think she has other stuff going on. And I've been considering messaging her again because I'm like, hey girl, like, you know, it's been over 10 years and I'm still waiting for you to finish this series because it's still my personality all this time after. And I think you can hear me clapping my hands off camera. And that's just because I'm so, so passionate about this. Because I need this series to continue. It doesn't even have to end, okay? It's okay if it never ends. I love it so much. But it needs to continue because they, like, and how much do I even, like, it doesn't even spoil anything. So, like, you know, there was a little twist, and the main characters were fighting about it. And, you know, I need to see them, like, continue to resolve that. And also, it would be great if there was, like, a small time skip
And then they were like as old as me now, because that's like where the reader base is now. Like that's how old we all are who would have read it like originally. So, hey, it's not that long of a time skip. If you could just skip up and then they can be in college and then I can like freak out about that too. That'd be great. And yeah, so no. So this is the book again. So beautiful. It had like this other cover when it first came out that was not pretty. This looks so good. Look at it. And you can see. Ooh. I don't know who those people are supposed to be in the back. I think it might be Jared and maybe her brother. And I'm sure Emery's back there somewhere. I don't know who's supposed to be who. It's not, I don't know. I'm just guessing. It doesn't matter at all, actually. But it looks good now. I really like the covers. And the books are all beautiful and really, really good. And the characters, like, even the ones that in book one come off as, like, being flat or, like, unlikable, as the series goes on, they get built up so much that you're like, oh, no, like, they're not. That's the first like impression is not, it's not accurate. It's just not. That's just the debut author syndrome where all the characters kind of are just cardboard. And then like you get past that and you're like, oh no, actually like this is everything to me. So yeah, I think I'm going to stop there because I don't think everybody has even made it this far in the show, but these books, Everything to me. Also, like, not to get controversial, this is a crazy thing to say. And I would never admit this to anybody. That's why I'm admitting it right now. In Not Even Bones, the main guy, hot. Hey, yeah, he's hot. Is he a freak? Yeah. Is he okay? No. Would I want to meet him? No. No, 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 no. Is he hot? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody knows. Everybody agrees. Everybody who reads the books is like, yeah. All the middle schoolers that read it, they're like, yeah. All the adults that read it, they're like, yeah. It's just where I'm at. Sorry. Controversial. It's not controversial at all. I just... No. It's fine. I'm gonna move on. Okay, let's end the video now. I said that I was going to end it before, but it's actually time now. I hope that this was interesting. I hope it was good. Thank you for continuing to stay with the podcast. I have some other ideas to continue with the show. I have some other episodes that I want to do. And I think we can just keep rolling with season 4, see where we're going. And I'm going to start getting set up, I think, for kind of the next phases of like projects that I want to make and maybe try out some other videos. And I don't think, we'll see. I might release them here or I might just be like, hey, go look at this that I also made. I don't know. We'll find out. If I can fit it under the umbrella of like the show, then that would be good, but I might not be able to. So thank you guys. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good evening, have a good morning, whatever it is. And let's cut off the ramble now. Goodbye and read on. I'm kidding, dream on.